From the First Midwest Bank Studio on State Street, this is WMVP WSHE HD2, Chicago. Live from Finley Dunn's in Lakeview, you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
We'll get to the answer here about Fields and when you know whether he's going to be great or... Because Nagy was asked that question too today. Abdul tweets, at Waddle and Sylvie, at TWaddle87, says, come on, Waddle.
Yeah.
He says, you definitely did more for the Bears on the field than Eddie Jackson. This ain't no kissing butt. That's honesty. Darren says, double nickel is on the Hall of Fame ballot. Jackson will never make it there. All Bears fans should be offended. Jackson's play is already insulting. Play the game and STFU.
I think picking a fight, so to speak, a social media fight with a guy with the resume of Lance Briggs ain't going to do you any good. It just isn't. And it, as I said, the thing that, like, from the chair I sit in and have, you know, having done this since, you know, in some parts while I was still playing in 93 and 94, like, I get when athletes get pissed at commentators when they go over the line and they start making personal shots at them and are irresponsible in some of the criticism on a personal front. Lance didn't do that. Like, so I don't see why.
Right.
Listen, if I dropped an important pass on third down and I read in the paper the next day that I cost the team an opportunity to convert a third down and ultimately it led to us losing to the Minnesota Vikings, that's fair criticism. If you read in the paper, that no good SOB was, you know, out all night long and didn't show up and is lazy and this is just a product of his poor work habits without...
Right.
That's out of bounds. Lance didn't do that. Lance just gave you the educated opinion of a guy who is, like you said, on a Hall of Fame ballot. Do you know the number of guys that are getting on the Hall of Fame ballot?
Not
very many.
No. Fabian says Jackson was able to get interceptions because he was playing with Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan, and Adrian Amos in 2018. He became more pedestrian as Amos and Callahan left. Now with Fuller gone, he has no one to cover him if he misses a tackle.
Well,
you know, Fabian, one point that he brings up too is something I've always been a fan of with Kyle Fuller and why I always thought that Carmen's angst about us saying that why they get rid of Kyle Fuller. Fuller came up and he played the run. Fuller
yes,
would
no
play
doubt.
Up and make tackles.
Yes. And trust me, opposing teams, offensive coordinators knew that and game planned accordingly. Don't also forget the important part that pass rush played in 2018. If you go back and look at the numbers from 2018 to 2019, the number of sacks went way down. And sacks
aren't
the only,
pressures.
Exactly. It's not just the sacks, but it's the pressures. And I thought that the defensive front seven was so damn good at getting to the opposing team and creating havoc that it created a lot of opportunities for everyone in that secondary. Balls would be up for grabs because quarterbacks were being harassed.
Right.
And they were being forced to throw the ball under duress. So that entire secondary, I thought, was very good. And they were the direct beneficiaries of what was being done in, you know, by the defensive line.
Now, that question that the caller had for you about Fields, whether you know, like you knew a couple of years in that Mitch was not going to be good no matter who his coach was, at least not be great. He wants to know when you're going to know with Fields. Is that what he was asking?
Yeah. I feel very confident that you're talking about different players with different skill sets and guys that have a different arc. I think, you know, again, look at where Mitch came from in North Carolina, was a one-year starter, and then you compare it to what Justin Fields did at Ohio State, playing on the biggest stage under the brightest lights and how well he played under those circumstances. And it's not just that, but then you go and watch his technique and how he handles a situation, how he processes stuff. It ain't perfect right now. But I was just never comfortable with what I saw from Mitch. Mitch always looked like, to me, like the kid growing up that was the best athlete in the neighborhood, so you started him at quarterback. And he just continued to play quarterback at every level because he was the best athlete. And then you get to the collegiate level, and you can't get by just on athletic ability. You still have to have a knack for that position. So I think that just watching Justin Fields, I just believe he's got a better feel for the position than Mitch ever did. Now, with that said, I don't think anyone really ripped Mitch for the first couple of years.
No, no one.
I mean, everybody was patient. You remember his first year was with John Fox and Dowell Loggins, and we really had no offensive weapons the second year he was with Matt Nagy. And we saw some splash plays in the first half of the season, and then teams got wise to what Matt Nagy was doing and what Mitch's skill set was, and then they were able to defend him. But the real criticism for Mitch didn't start until, like, year three. The point I'm making is,
It was training camp in 19 when the reporters were saying to us, guys, it doesn't look right. And then it was the first game against the Packers and Bears 100 of 19 coming off the playoff appearance, and you scored three. And then you go to Denver, and you barely score all game, and you kick a field goal to win, but it's still masking all these bad defense.
Yeah, and look, I'm not just overlooking some of the negatives that we've seen from Justin Fields, rookie quarterback. But what I'm saying also is, I'm not going to be overly harsh about what I'm seeing. I'll give him the same grace period that we gave Mitch. Nobody really got on Mitch, as you know, we both said, until we started in training camp in his third year. Look, there are some issues. He does hold the ball too long.
Of course,
he does turn bad plays into really bad plays by hanging on to the ball too long. There are also some positives. I think he has poise in the pocket for the most part. I think he's very calm. I think he's got a great arm. I think you'll see him be more accurate down the field as time goes on and he's comfortable with what's around him. I have a lot more hope and confidence in who Justin Fields will be than what I thought Mitch was going to eventually turn into. So, again, I'm not overlooking what I've seen so far. Their numbers speak to a lot of their issues, and some of those issues are quarterback-related because he's a young guy with very little experience. But overall, I feel more confident with what we'll get from Justin Fields than what we saw from Mitch as a Bears quarterback.
I think, did Josh Allen have a lot of problems holding on to the ball
no
too
doubt.
Long? And,
yeah.
he learned how to do it. The thing that I love is that Justin Fields plays great under center and in the pocket. You know what I mean? He's not one of those guys who's the, quote, running quarterback and wants to bail right away. He does hold on to the ball too long. There were issues yesterday, but some of his best throws and best drives came when he's under center and throwing from
the pocket. Well, he was a pocket passer at Ohio State.
Of course. Yeah. I know that. Yeah. No, I know. I'm not saying that I'm just learning this. I'm saying there's another reason why the good throws still in his, what start is this? This is his second start since they proclaimed it's Justin Fields' time, and his fourth overall.
Well, he started the Cleveland game, and then he started the Detroit game, and then
fourth overall.
This was his fourth start.
And then here's another thing I want to get to. Then we'll get to the calls. 312-332-3776. Yesterday, a little history in Chicago. It was the first championship this city has seen since 2016. Here is the highlight down the stretch, capping off a fantastic fourth quarter comeback at Wintrust Arena. The highlight on ESPN.
Just 16-16 in the regular season. Facing down two single elimination games as a sixth seed, ousting the top-seeded Connecticut Sun in the semis, and now on the brink of their first championship. Griner's three, rebound Parker, she's left alone, mission accomplished, that's it! For the first time in franchise history, the Chicago Sky are
Listen to that crowd and what a scene at Wintrust. And it was apropos, I tweeted about this, that the ball found Parker. Parker found the ball. And the GOAT was dribbling it out in our hometown, coming home to win it here, to go on this magical postseason run after a regular season that was up and down, and there were some injuries and things like that. They had to win some single elimination series. Candace Parker was going to join us today. Her agent had to call in and said she had prior duties to attend to, and she is expected to join us in the next couple of days, maybe after the parade. So we want to say congratulations
to
the
Sky.
And what a great Chicago sports moment, and what a run they went.
I think yesterday was kind of a microcosm of the season, wasn't it? I think they were down 9 or 10 after the third period, and then they outscored their opponent 26-11. The Mercury in the fourth period. It was kind of like their season where they struggled and they went up and down and ultimately found their compass and were pointed in the right direction. But it's nice to have a championship in this city.
Did you see that both WNBA and NBA teams who have the biggest blowouts in NBA Finals and WNBA Finals history are the Bulls and the Sky? What the Sky did in Game 3, blowing out the Mercury, and what the Bulls did in, I think it was Game 3, also against the Jazz in 98. I think the Bulls won that game like 99-55. Like, the Sky dominated Game 3, and then they had to come back in Game 4 to win that. But really a cool sight yesterday.
Nice, and remember, the NBA tips off for our Chicago Bulls this week.
Wednesday. Can't wait. And I hope other people follow in Candace Parker's footsteps, and they want to come home, and they want to play here. It's been far too many people have said no thanks, and Candace Parker's like, I know I won a championship in L.A. I've known I played my whole career here, but it's special for me to come home and to win, and I hope other athletes will follow in her footsteps. William on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, William?
Hey, you know what? I know y'all been saying a lot of good things about Aaron Rodgers today, but I was asking this. What about the offside penalty they didn't call? Because I think when Aaron Rodgers said he owned the Bears, he owned the referees too, you know, because if that didn't make no sense. And about that face mask he pulled, and they didn't call that either. I mean, how else does this guy get away with that? Obviously, they're going to let the rookie get away with it. How did that Aaron Rodgers, if that happened to Aaron Rodgers, that flag would have came out in a heartbeat.
What do you think, Waddle? What about the was it an offsides, and do you fault Justin Fields for throwing it deep, thinking he had a free play?
No, but that's going to come with experience. Like, what a veteran quarterback will do is when he thinks he's got the defender jumping offsides, and I think Aaron Rodgers talked about this after the game, you're the only one that really has the capacity to see whether a flag has been thrown. And he'll learn while he thinks that your eyes, when you think you do that, if you ask Rodgers, he'll say his eyes immediately go to the line judge or the linesman to see whether or not there's a flag on the ground. Now, again, I understand you got to read a defense. You've got to see what's coming at you. So also knowing that a flag has been thrown is a lot to process. But a veteran quarterback will learn how to do that. I did think it was offsides. I thought it was a bad break for us. It wasn't the most obvious one. It almost looked simultaneous, but it did. I think it looked simultaneous because Mustafa, as soon as he saw the Packer defensive lineman jump, he did what a good center should do when he snapped it. I thought it was a mistake by the refs not to throw the flag. But at the end of the day, it really turned into a punt. It was a third down. So I don't look at the decision that Justin made and really hold that against him. I mean, it was one of those plays that you never, you know, that you don't get back, but I don't think this was a check mark against him. With regard to Aaron Rodgers, look, he has owned this Bears team, regardless of what happened. Mario Edwards, I get it. Aaron Rodgers had his hand on Mario Edwards' face mask. Okay, I get that. He wasn't yanking on it. He was basically trying to separate himself. And once again, Mario Edwards stood over top of him and did something that he needs to
talk
know that
about
he can't
that.
Do any longer.
Let's continue that conversation. The Mario Edwards, again, 2 weeks in a row, and whether or not you excuse that in that situation, 312-332-3776. It was a big play. And then I want to get to Brian LaGrange. You'll start, Brian, because he thinks he knows the explanation on why Nagy is talking about the defense for the lack of point scoring, which really confused the two of us and got under our skin. It's Miller time, even on a Monday. Come on out to Finley Dunn's. We're here drinking ice-cold Miller Lite. They've got the best wings in the city. So come on out and enjoy it with us, Waddle and Sylvie.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Live from Finley Dunn's in Lakeview on the ESPN Chicago app, on the FM 100.3 HD2, and on ESPN 1000.
Let the Miller Lite flow.
All right, it's a Bears Monday, and we're out and about. Bears Mondays always on ESPN 1000, brought to you by our great friends and partners at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. Shout out to all those great people. And the phone number to reach us, what we like to do on Mondays is we like to give you a voice, just like every hour of our show. You always have a voice here, especially on Mondays after a big Bears game, Bears-Packer game. The Aaron Rodgers dominance continues. He tells the fans that he still owns us, and he's right. 312-332-3776. We're live at Finley Dunn's in Lakeview. It's on Lincoln Avenue. Waddle walked up the street to go on a coffee run for all of us.
I did.
And he finally discovered Lakeview in 2021.
I love it. Yeah.
He said to us, he goes, "What neighborhood is this?"
Yeah.
"It's really nice up here." I go, "Waddle, this is Lakeview."
Thanks for coming and hanging out, Waddle. Appreciate it.
I was never offered the opportunity to come hang.
You're always welcome.
Never,
you know that. There's always a silver bullet in the fridge waiting just for you.
Fantastic. And listen, had I lived downtown when I was young, I would have looked at this area for sure.
I loved it. You walked up and you were mesmerized. You came back.
They got
you were glowing.
Here.
Well, let me ask you a question,
Abdallah. He was like, "Wow, what neighborhood is this? It's really nice up here." I'm like, Lakeview?
Yeah.
the place we've been to many times before?
I've never been down that street. Ever.
Down Lincoln?
Never.
No.
Never.
It's only
not
one
once.
Of the biggest thoroughfares.
That's
in
where
Chicago.
I used to get all those
never
bear claws
been down
from
there.
For Bear Claw Mondays was that Dinkles right down the street.
Oh, Dinkles.
Yeah.
Dinkles Bear Claws.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where you would pick it up.
Yeah. Right? It's like one of the few places in the city that still has bear claws.
Yeah. There's very few wins in the city, too, these days, Abdallah. So that's why it was perfect. Whenever we would get that flash win, you would have to get a pastry that wasn't in high demand.
Remember
either.
The days of the highly optimistic Bear fan back in 2018?
I know. I love that team. I still believe they could have gone to the Super Bowl if Cody Parkey doesn't miss. They had the magic going.
Yeah, and if they would have scored more than, 15 points,
not,
and the defense would have made it a,
revisionist
made
history
a stop
much,
at
yeah.
the end, and the punter wouldn't have shanked one. I mean, there's a long list of things that kept them from getting past the Eagles that year.
All right, the Mario Edwards play, then I want to go to Brian. Again, someone said to me, "Well, you can't tell me that if you're in this situation that you wouldn't do the same thing." He's grabbing the face mask. But this is what you're paid to do, right? Knowing that the second guy in is always going to get the flag.
Sure.
You can, and the taunting rule does suck, but he had another stupid penalty the week before that. He was suspended for the first two games of the season. It's just.
What do you think's going to happen if you're standing over Aaron Rodgers bent down and pointing a finger in his face in 2021? What do you think is going to happen?
You're going to get flagged.
Of course you are.
And what revenge are you getting?
None.
You're hurting your team.
You're not getting no revenge.
So, Brian in LaGrange, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brian?
Hey, I wanted to see if you guys, how you felt about Matt Nagy insulting the defense because of his own insecurities. Like, he doesn't want to make Justin Fields feel worse about what happened. But, like, he's like the jealous boyfriend.
I don't know.
He's got a hot defense.
I know. It was weird today. I like a good press conference more than Waddle, and I was listening live. And right when I heard that, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, that when Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times asked him, why don't your offenses score points this year and in general? And he referenced it's a total team game, and the defense has to flip the field, and the defense has to get turnovers. I mean, dude, the guy has had so many mea culpas where he has thrown himself under the bus. And in this situation, they were asking about his offense, but yet he was talking about the defense teams as well.
I don't know if this was some odd way of trying to take the pressure, the attention away from his young quarterback who's guiding an offense that's averaging 246 yards and 16 points per game. But in the process, to alienate your defense that does give you a chance on every Sunday seems like an odd
thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, do you guys think that he's being a genius, or do you think he's just willfully...
No. I think, look, Brian, I don't want to say this mean, okay? Not insulting you. I don't think he's... I don't think he's very bright. I don't, compared to other football coaches.
Exactly.
He's smarter than me, but I don't think he's very bright. He fired himself for the second time as offensive coordinator. His quarterback plan has already gone boom, and he's had to move away from that. His offense has never been good. Like, I think he tries to fool us with, like, acting nice. He's really, really nice. He's a sweetheart of a guy. But I don't believe he's that smart.
Based on some of the press conferences that have taken place over the last 4 or 5 weeks, does it really surprise you? Like, nothing surprises me on a Monday any longer.
Not anymore.
And again, I think that he thought this was the best way to protect his young quarterback from criticism by actually lobbing criticism at his own defense.
But read the room, man. I mean, come on. Jerry and Mokina, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jer? Jerry and Mokina once.
He got distracted in Mokina.
I think Jerry is gone.
You know who's pissed?
He's getting a good chant here.
Yeah. Trey Tunes and some of the other listeners. Marty, right? You're Marty. Max and Palatine, right?
Hold up. Trey is still standing after yesterday?
Prospect. Yeah.
All right, good. Good to hear that Trey's up and about.
What happened yesterday, Trey?
Wow.
Oh, he was at the tailgate. Did things go sideways?
Black, you inform us.
Yeah.
So Trey showed up. He was just wandering the south
Overserved?
Lot. And then, boom, he's there. And my dad's feeding him some alcohol. And then and Trey is just, I think he needed my dad to walk him back to his other parking location because he didn't remember where he was going.
That's okay.
So I'm glad that Trey's up and
he's very resilient.
Awesome. Good.
Trey is one of our fine listeners who you can also check out on the Twitch chat. It's twitch.tv, and it's ESPN 1000 Chicago. He's always there. He's world famous, and he does our theme song. He's done many parody songs. Does our theme song for Crosstalk on
him. You can knock him down, but you can't keep him down, obviously, because he's back here today.
I'm not knocking you down.
I think the booze knocked him down. When he was asked, how much did you drink before you came over to our tailgate, his response was, well, I had one drink, and it had about 6 or 7 shots in it.
It was a handle.
It is one drink, though. That's good. It's a good call. If it's one glass, no matter if it's full with all alcohol,
so
it's
this
one
was
drink.
This was before the game. Did you get into the game? No, he didn't go into the game.
He didn't get into the game.
No.
They turned you away or because you didn't have a ticket? Oh, he didn't have a ticket.
Oh, you know what? I give you high marks for going to the tailgating even without a ticket.
Yeah.
I love it.
Show up. You know who else is pissed at us? I told you, Jeff. I know our listeners. Big C fired off a tweet yesterday.
Yeah.
Big C, one of our longtime listeners as well. And he's like, you better be ready, Sylvie. I'm coming after you tomorrow.
What happened?
Big C on the south side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Big C?
Sylvie.
What's up, Big C?
Man, you know I got to get you, man. Hey, but you're talking about Nagy talking about the defense. You're just talking about simple things of the game. Time of possession and field position. That's just the simple things of winning the ball game. But what I want to talk about, with Rod is saying he owned us. Yes, he do. And whoever that lady was to say something, she the reason that he owned us. Because we got a bunch of fans that know nothing about football. We're in the position we is now because Justin Fields should be out there. Even a Hall of Famer boxing commentator, Al Bernstein, said it. The game is too fast for him. He looked like a deer headlight.
No.
And then also,
he's growing on the field, Big C. You saw him within the game adjust from a lot of and he drove them downfield 17-14. That's a little bit of growth within a game.
But still, why can't he learn like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes? They're my MVP. You know one thing, you talk about the nice throw, but even Mac Jones up in New England, he controls the line of scrimmage. That's one thing that Justin Fields does not do. And then he's immature. He's going to take shortcuts. And then, y'all want to talk about the offense, they got to blend the offense for him.
Big C, look, when in Baltimore, they had a Super Bowl-winning quarterback that they still believed in when they chose Lamar Jackson. Some scouts even thought Lamar would be a wide receiver. So that was a work in progress, and he still played in his first year with several games left. Patrick Mahomes had Alex Smith there, who led the NFL in passer rating. This Bears team didn't have anybody who had previously been with this team, so you might as well start the learning curve like San Diego did with Justin Herbert. Look, Herbert a week ago was being talked about as an MVP candidate, and you saw what happened to the offense yesterday. Even in year two with a great player like Justin Herbert, you're going to get some hiccups here. It's going to be rough, but you hope within each game he learns a little bit more, he carries it over into the next game, and the process continues, because you learn by doing and you learn by getting the reps in week to week in every practice.
Listen, if you've set the bar at an unreasonably high level for Justin Fields and what he's involved in right now, that's kind of on you. Remember when he started the final preseason game against the Tennessee Titans? And in the first 28 minutes, they had 30 yards and a first down. And it was the surest sign yet that even when he did take over, because of some of their limitations, it isn't going to look great the majority of the time. You may get a flash here, you may get a flash there. But anyone who thought that this team, this offense, was going to go from 0 to 100 as soon as they went from Andy Dalton to Justin Fields was being unrealistic. You have protection issues up front. You still have a group that I think we've got some competent guys on the edge, but separation has become an issue.
Yeah.
And you've got a young quarterback who is still struggling to find his way. So, like, if you thought that this thing was going to get up and they were going to start scoring 30 points per game, you just – I think it was just an unrealistic expectation.
Even if he would watch, it would still be a process in year two when he would finally play.
Now again, I do want to see. If you go back and look at what Kyler Murray did in his rookie year, starting from day one, and Justin Herbert going back and starting from the second week of the season.
Dak Prescott.
There are games where those guys were all throwing for 300 yards and everything looked almost like the kid was. We haven't seen that yet, but that, I think, is more of a product of what's going on in totality than Justin Fields just isn't ready to go. Most of these quarterbacks learn on the go, on the process.
All right, Waddle mentioned the separation. Greg Olson touched on that yesterday. We'll play that from the broadcast. All of your phone calls coming up, 312-332-3776. Today's show brought to you by Miller Lite. We're live at Finley Dunn's in this beautiful new neighborhood that Waddle discovered today.
Just discovered it.
Called Lakeview.
May buy a place down here.
This is a Miller Lite Waddle and Sylvie broadcast.
Live from Finley Dunn's in Lakeview.
Is Chicago's home for sports. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
From Field Yates, who just tweeted. He said the Bears, who are dealing with depth issues at running back right now, worked out Duke Johnson, Chris Thompson, TJ Logan, and C.J. Marable. So Duke Johnson, you know, had a good run with Cleveland for a little bit. I think he was on Houston.
Yeah, it was with the Texans.
Chris Thompson with Washington, I think, for a bit. All guys who could catch the ball a little bit. So I liked what they've been able to do so far with Damian Williams. He was obviously out with COVID. And I thought the sixth-round pick
did well yesterday.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert. And this is what Carmen and Yurko always talk about with these picks. It's like you give Pace credit for finding a guy like Khalil Herbert who you could plug and play right away. The Yurko, he's got a promo running, plug and play, plug and play. And you plug him in and you play him, and it should show Pace that a guy like Tariq Cohen doesn't need to be re-upped ever. You could find Tariq Cohen in the fourth round, and then you can replace him by drafting Khalil Herbert in the sixth round. Or whether it was Jordan Howard, one of Ryan Pace's first hits in one of those late rounds. Ryan Pace has actually done his best work later in draft, finding quality players who you can plug right into the lineup. But they said, hey, Jordan Howard's replaceable. Let's go out and get someone.
I agreed with him.
And then you go draft Montgomery, and you have Cohen slide in. And the Mike Davis signing was a good one. They wouldn't play him.
Yeah.
Mike Davis, you see, is a capable back. And again, it's like for one good thing that Pace does, you could find another thing on that. Like, you pay offensive linemen. You never pay running backs. You draft Khalil Herberts all day, and you plug and play them.
And when their rookie contracts are up, you move on.
And then you pay guys who can play tackle because you're playing Jermaine Urfetti at right tackle. And now you're playing Elijah Wilkinson at right tackle. He finally drafted a couple of tackles this year. They're both hurt.
Yeah.
But this is – it's not – it's because he's neglected the position before they drafted Borum and before they drafted the kid from Oklahoma State.
Tevin Jenkins.
Tevin Jenkins, out of sight, out of mind. So, Greg Olsen yesterday, this was we've hit a lot of – Justin Fields, you see the growing pains. You're going to see the growing pains. Holding on to the football too much. Didn't see Allen Robinson break free. Threw the not noticing that there wasn't a flag, throwing the interception in the end zone. They need points out of that. Taking sacks when you could just throw the ball right out. You're already running. Just dump it out of bounds. Lots of things you can say that the kid's got to be better at. And then Waddle said it's the totality of the offense at times, too. I thought Greg Olsen did a good job of showing that with everybody. This was on one of those plays when he's holding on to the ball, and I think it ultimately ended with a sack. But Greg Olsen explains why.
We talked about game management sometimes, Joe. Sometimes you just have to understand the circumstances, right? Give him a play that just gives him a chance to just get the ball out of his hand and put yourself in a manageable, right? There, look how deep the routes are. He's looking to throw. Not one guy's out of his break, right? He's clearing it out. He's trying to get, but we don't have time, right? He's got nowhere to throw the ball. And then instead of throwing it away, he's forced to take a sack. Don't put your young quarterback in that situation. But now it's 4th and 25 where the game's over.
Well, my question is why is your quarterback ready to throw it and your receivers are not coming out of their breaks? It was not about separation. I think Greg mentioned that a little bit later. But, like, that's just not being on the same page and your staff not, you know, getting everybody on the same page. Look, if your quarterback's ready to throw it and your receivers aren't coming out of their breaks, then you've designed and devised the wrong game plan.
Scott in Highland Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Scotty.
What's up, boys?
You tell
us. Got two things. I got a lot up. So, piggyback off what Olsen said, the play before halftime, unbelievable bad clock management, as well as, I know it's on Fields a little bit, but, geez, why are you dropping back? You need to get a field goal there. Why are you putting him in a position to take the sack? You know, Sylvie, like you said, Matt Nagy can't be accused of a lot of things. One of them is being intelligent. The second one, the Rodgers thing. Look, Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Fame quarterback, no doubt. But you know what? Start acting like it. Do you think that Tom Brady or Peyton Manning are going to do that with the belt thing and I own you?
Yes.
I don't. But anyhow.
Tom Brady is one of the biggest trash talkers in the entire NFL.
Okay. The thing is, I didn't think it was classy. And you know what? He's always complaining. And guess what? In the NFC Championship game, he could have run that ball in the end zone before his coach decided to kick the field goal. Thanks, guys.
Would you like him to be your quarterback?
Oh, my gosh, what I would do. I was out with a Packer fan on Saturday. We went out with someone that we know through our kids' baseball. The first time we've gone out, the husband grew up in Green Bay, diehard Packers fan, and he was telling me how pissed he is at Rodgers and how he had a falling out as a fan with Favre because he got tired of Favre's stuff. And I go, look, I said to him, I go, you know when you get pissed? You get pissed when you draft Mitch Trubisky instead of Patrick Mahomes. You know when you get pissed is when you sign Andy Dalton for $10 million and you start him over the kid.
Yeah.
You know when you get pissed is when Mike Glennon signed for $18 million. That's when you get pissed. You deal with whatever diva or drama you have to deal with Aaron Rodgers, and you milk every ounce out of it.
They'll understand it when he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know how
hope,
good
you hope.
That's true. Again, I'm very, very much defensive in, from that perspective as well. Until I see Jordan Love stink, I'm just going to believe that he's just the next in a long line of quarterbacks that are going to be beyond incredible.
Any other Bears fans mad at Rodgers for the I own you?
Yeah,
Chris, if
weird.
You could play that one more time on Fox. This has been the national talk of the country here.
The score.
Yeah, I own you. I still own you.
If you're mad at Aaron Rodgers, that's misdirected anger and angst.
I'm just like, my team.
Be mad at your organization for not being able to find an Aaron Rodgers or put together a team that's consistently competitive against the Green Bay Packers.
Yes. Brian in Buffalo Grove, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brian?
Yeah, so you were saying earlier that Matt Nagy's quarterback plan went kaboom. I'm trying to find out what that quarterback plan is that you're speaking of, because the quarterback plan that he had was he named the starting quarterback of Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton was to be the starter, and that's how it was going to be moving forward until he got injured. So that's where he caved in front of the Chicago media, calling for them to start Justin Fields, and now you see in week 6 how Justin Fields plays right now because of that fact. There's a competent quarterback for the Chicago Bears. I didn't pay him a $10 million to come and play for a year. The Chicago Bears did. He's competent enough for him to sit behind and watch Andy Dalton play quarterback.
What would their record be if Andy Dalton was the quarterback?
Either the same or a little bit better, maybe.
We don't know what that would be. Which game are they winning? Huh? They're winning in Cleveland. They beat the Raiders and they beat Detroit after they moved on from Dalton. Like, you're on the road to nowhere with Dalton. He is leading you to a...
You're telling me right now that if Justin Fields, if Andy Dalton was playing instead of Justin Fields, that the outcome would have been different or the same?
I am telling you, it wouldn't be different. Games. And at least we're growing a future now. And now we need other players around him. We need better coaches around him.
So what happens in week seven when Justin Fields is sprinting out to the left or to the right in Soldier Field in that crappy grass, and then he gets a torn ACL?
Well, look, I mean, we're going to put him on the shelf until we move out of Soldier Field then? What are you saying? I don't understand.
You're going to put him on the shelf until you get a competent a quarterback coach and a competent staff that can actually play call play to get him to do what he's supposed to do, not just throw him out to the wolves.
But the grass has nothing to do with it here. Again, like, what was the same?
Brian,
what was the Chargers' record last year?
Okay, but
what was the Cardinals' record 2 years ago? Do you think they give a crap what they were in their rookie year with Kyler Murray or Justin Herbert? They don't because they grew a quarterback in his rookie year. What?
They didn't have competent quarterbacks before that. That's why they had to throw those guys in there.
Says who? The Chargers had the exact same game.
Who was the Arizona Cardinals quarterback prior to that? Who was the Arizona Cardinals quarterback prior to that?
Drew Stanton. Ding, 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 ding. What do I win?
Drew Stanton. Wowee.
But you asked the question, I gave you the correct answer. I won a prize.
Andy Dalton, in the last 4 or 5 years, is one of the worst QBRs of any starting quarterback in the entire league.
Right, but he's been to the Pro Bowl how many times?
Well, 7, 8 years ago?
Maybe not 7 or 8 years ago. Brian, you're not going anywhere with him.
Why would you go on the radio?
Now, as it goes.
You are growing a quarterback. You're developing him. It's like you sound like Vinny Del Negro when you wanted Tabo Cephalosha in the game instead of Derrick Rose because you didn't think Derrick Rose was ready for a big moment. It was stupid then, and what you're saying now is stupid too.
You're stupid.
No, it's not.
It is dumb.
Don't bring the Bulls into this. That's stupid.
No, it's not, because it's the same thing.
Stupid.
They devised a plan one time when they sat Derrick Rose out. He was out with a game-winning play.
Right.
And Tabo Cephalosha was in the game, and I said, let's put
Justin Fields out in front of this offensive line and then get him killed. We'll just do that, and then where is the Bears going to be? They're going to have to re-sign Andy Dalton to another $10 million contract.
See, Brian, what they're doing to us. Do you see what the Bears are doing to us?
You and I
should be having a Miller Lite together at a bar right now.
But meantime,
you're getting mad at me because I don't want Andy Dalton to play for my team, and then my coaches and general manager are incompetent.
Let me get this straight. Both of you agree that with or without Andy Dalton, regardless of who the quarterback is, this team isn't competing, correct? You both agree.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. You're concerned that Justin Fields is going to get hurt behind this offensive line.
Because of the grass.
Sylvie is saying that you can't be worried about that. If you're scared, go buy a dog. This is part of being a professional quarterback in the NFL. I think you guys have more in common than you actually do.
No, we don't. Well, Brian sounds like a nice guy. Brian, thank you.
Well, that means then that you don't have much in common.
No, I like Brian. I like guys. I'm cool. I just think I don't understand why anyone wants Andy Dalton. For the road, the typical
listen,
road.
Listen, if you
and Nick Foles to do what Andy Dalton was going to do this year. If you screwed that up last year.
The people that are really, I think, misguided are the ones that think that Andy Dalton is taking you somewhere. If he's just afraid that this quarterback is going to get hurt behind this offensive line, I would just advise you that there's a chance even behind a good offensive line that a quarterback can get hurt. That's part of the job.
The nuttiest story of the day, we're at Finley Dunn's. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Finley Dunn's located on Lincoln Avenue in Lakeview. Join us, and it's beautiful.
Live from Finley Dunn's in Lakeview, this is the Waddle and Sylvie Show, presented by Miller Lite.
We're on twitch.tv. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Smell that?
I do. I got a story that at some point I'll get to.
Weed o'clock right now.
Yeah, it is weed o'clock.
By the way,
did JR just go out and come back? No?
No, JR's here.
Okay.
I know what you're saying, but I don't know if. Do you still smoke it or do you eat it?
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Twitch today on twitch.tv. Our channel is ESPN 1000 Chicago. Join us. You can see us from Finley Dunn's. It's all brought to you by. This is a perfect. Perfect segue. 3Chi, the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products.
It's delicious.
So do you have a nutty story of the day? You want to hold that for a minute?
Yeah, I'll hold it for a minute. Breathe in the strong smell of something burning.
And we want to take your Bears calls at 332-3776. We've also talked about the Sky winning the title. I said this to you earlier, Ben, who's the VP of... I think he's the VP of content on VSiN, and they broadcast out of Circa. He used to work with ESPN. Every now and then, he'll
what's his last name?
I don't want to mispronounce it. It's Fawkes.
Fox.
Fox. Fawkes. Fox. Fawker.
Or Ben.
Listen, he tweeted this out. He says, "We have a new sports betting milestone achieved. New Jersey reports $1 billion in sports betting handle for September 2021. That's just for September in 2021.
Wow.
It's the first month of any U.S. state going over the $1 billion mark in handle. And how about this? To put it into context, New Jersey's handle in its first month when it was legal, this is in June of 2018, their handle was $16.4 million. Their handle in the month of September, $1 billion.
Well, we all knew that there was a market for it. Now I know why the weed smells here.
Oh, yeah.
We always knew that there was a market for this. It was just a matter of getting it rolling, and then it was going to explode.
Yes.
And that's evidence, firsthand evidence as to
love
just that.
Yeah, lost on the Bears yesterday.
Yeah, I bet on the Bears.
Union and a half.
Did you?
Union and a half, yeah.
Did you bet on them on the money line?
No, I did not.
Really?
Just with the early 4.5 that I jumped on foolishly.
You know what? I chased a little bit last night with Seattle and actually cashed a ticket.
Oh, that's good. That's a good smart guy's play right
Do you know,
there.
No, you know what I did? No, this was an oppo play.
Oh,
because my thought was
right.
There's no chance that the Seahawks are going to keep this within
four and a half
points.
Not without Russ.
And you know what I did? I just went oppo myself because earlier in the day I was hot garbage.
You ripped me when I said that's what I wanted to try a couple years ago.
Yeah,
because
I did.
We think too much like the public.
Yeah.
That's what Carmen always says. You always want to be on the side of the house.
Well, I spent all day putting bets down on things that I actually went through and did, went through the mental process
right.
And evaluated, and I got my clock cleaned.
Yes.
So I decided just in the after the late game to oppo myself.
You have to hold your nose and do it.
And I won a couple of units
yep.
and got some of the money back.
What's the nuttiest story of the day?
The nuttiest story of the day brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
Marijuana edibles found in teacher's reward box for students. An elementary school teacher in South Carolina was arrested after weed edibles were found in a box of prizes meant for her students. The
so,
local sheriff.
Boy, she didn't keep them close to the vest, huh?
The local sheriff's office was contacted late September about a student at Rocky Creek Elementary School. Student picking out a package of edibles from a box full of candy used by the teacher. So what she had in her prize box for her her grade school students were edibles.
Yeah, you just spelled a word right in the spelling bee. Go grab a piece of candy.
JR wants to go back to elementary school.
I will say some of those things do look like
of course.
Gummies. I mean, they really, you really have to look at those.
That's why
things.
You have to keep them away.
Locked up.
You got to make them be smart with it.
The kids or the edibles?
The edibles.
Okay. All right, we're back in 2 short minutes. We're live at Finley Dunn's. It's all brought to you by Miller Time. If you want to talk to us, 312-332-3776. Do you blame Aaron Rodgers for saying that he owns us? That in 2 short minutes.